Welcome to the show. I'm your aptly named host, and this is Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I hope you recall last week I had Larry Sharp. We were talking about smart sales training strategies to kickstart your fundraising. Larry is the director of NeoSage, and he transformed corporate sales lessons into savvy and easy nonprofit fundraising ideas for us. This week, a conversation with Holly Hall. She is the features editor at the Chronicle of Philanthropy. We'll talk about Giving USA, what some shortcomings may have been in their research in the past, and what she's looking for when new numbers come out that are expected this week. And also some predictions for giving this year, which is looking up. Also, Scott Kegler joins me, Google for Nonprofits, the editor of Nonprofit Technology News and our regular tech contributor, explains what's offered by this program and how it will help you work smarter and save a lot of money. But there are some caveats about working in the Google Cloud. On Tony's Take Two, I'll talk about the IRS auto revocation list. It's out, and what if you're on it and want to get off it? I blogged about it this week, and we'll talk about it on Tony's Take Two. All of that this show. We'll take a break right now, then I'll be joined by Holly Hall. Stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. With me now is Holly Hall. Holly is features editor for the Chronicle of Philanthropy. We're going to talk about Giving USA numbers that are expected this week. Just so you understand, we are recording on Tuesday. You're going to hear this show on Friday, June 17th. The numbers are expected to come out today, which would be Tuesday. So we're doing a little bit of predicting, but mostly we're going to be looking at the past and seeing what we expect for the numbers that do come out, or certainly are expected to come out this week. Holly Hall, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
Pleasure to have you. This time last year, June of 2010, you were questioning some of the conclusions about 2009 fundraising.
Yes.
Before we get into those questions about the 2009 fundraising, why don't you just explain what Giving USA is for people who may not be aware of the annual report?
Giving USA is the annual tally of all philanthropic giving from individuals, foundations, and corporations to American charities.
And it,
it's conducted by the Center on Philanthropy at Indiana University.
Mm-hmm.
And commissioned by an organization of fundraising consultants.
That's Giving USA.
Right. Well, the Giving Institute.
The Giving Institute, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And to be fair, it is an estimate. Isn't that
correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Okay. And then they get further information when IRS numbers come out later, but we'll get to that.
Yes.
Okay. So this time last year, there were some questions about, specifically about the individual giving numbers.
Right.
In 2009. Can you explain what your concerns were?
Well, individuals make up the lion's share of all charitable donations.
Right, about 75%, right?
Correct. And Giving USA found that individuals contributed more than $227 million in 2009, which was about the same as 2008. And we kind of questioned that because we were calling around the country and finding that charities were struggling, and other studies also showed a big drop in giving.
Okay, and we'll shortly we'll talk about some of the, what those other studies were. But so Giving USA showed pretty much flat numbers from 2008 to 2009, but that wasn't what you were hearing from the nonprofit community and seeing in research, other research.
That's correct.
Okay, these numbers are pretty significant for nonprofits. How do you hear that organizations use the Giving USA data?
They're sort of a benchmarking that some organizations will use to assess their own progress and to set goals for the coming year. The numbers provide a breakdown by cause areas, so education, health, religion, etc.
Okay, and so nonprofits are looking at those to evaluate whether they're in the field where they should be.
Right.
Okay. I just want to clarify. I think you said 227 million from individuals, but that would have been 227 billion.
You're absolutely right. I'm sorry.
Okay. No problem. So it's easier in print because then you can go back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The finding was puzzling to not only you but other people as well, who just were not seeing flat giving from 08 to 09.
Yes, it kind of, we're 09, remember, was the absolute depth of the recession, so many groups were feeling the pain.
And that's what you were hearing, and mm-hmm. but Giving USA wasn't really reflecting that.
That's true.
Yeah. Aren't these also significant numbers because we're looking at what the resiliency of giving is in recessionary times?
Well, Giving USA has been doing what it does for decades, and they have pointed out repeatedly that charitable donations fluctuate less than the economy does when we're in recession.
Mm-hmm.
But now we suspect that maybe giving is not as resilient as has been said in the past, that it may fluctuate more dramatically than Giving USA has found.
Okay, and it's not just Giving USA. I think the conventional wisdom is that people continue to be generous, not as generous, but not as dramatically declining fundraising or giving as say, the stock market may fall.
Mm-hmm. So that still may be true.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I think the what's going to be found out is that this recession was different than previous recessions in our lifetime, and that giving was affected more deeply than has been suggested.
Okay. So we may find something contrary to the conventional wisdom. And I know Giving USA has been at this some like 50 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a long history, including working with the Indiana University Center on Philanthropy, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to take a break, and when we return, Holly Hall will certainly still be with me, and we'll get into some of the details of the other research, including research from people who are advisors to Giving USA. This is Tony Martinetti, Nonprofit Radio. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please join us starting Monday, May 2nd at 10 a.m. for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Please tune in and call as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. With me is Holly Hall, features editor at the Chronicle of Philanthropy, and we're talking about Giving USA and their the methodology behind that annual survey. Holly, the Chronicle actually did its own spot check, maybe sort of a small crowdsourcing exercise, didn't you?
Yes, we're doing the same thing right now.
Okay. Looking at the 2009 numbers, you found what others were finding, right? That giving had actually declined in 2008.
It was a big challenge for most organizations. For example, hospitals, surveyed by the American Association of Healthcare Philanthropy, found that giving to hospitals declined by 11% in 2009. The Council for Advancement and Support of Education found that giving to colleges and universities plummeted by 17.8% adjusted for inflation. So those are double-digit drops.
And what about your own small crowdsourcing survey? What were you finding? Similar?
We did a spot check in 2009 of 57 charities, and 35 of them said that giving had dropped in 2009.
Yeah.
And we're doing the same thing for 2010 and even looking at 2011, but it's a little early to say.
Okay.
However, the overall impression is that things are starting to recover, but they're still not back to pre-recession era giving.
Okay, 2007, 2008, right. Mm-hmm. How do you select the charities that that you spot check at the Chronicle?
We try to get a good representation of all different types of groups. So we'll call several colleges and universities, several religious organizations, several health organizations, and on and on.
Okay. And then you also have your, is it Philanthropy 400? Is that what it's called?
Yes, we do. We have some of those groups report early. So we're still pulling those numbers for 2010 and also 2011, the fiscal 2011. Some groups have already wrapped up this year.
Okay. You know what I'd love to see? So this is sort of interesting. If we had a real site where the nonprofits could report on their own, maybe just, you know, like have a crowdsourcing, crowdsourcing site where, you know, tens, hundreds of thousands of charities, ideally, could report on maybe it's just some simple numbers, you know, reporting into a Google Doc or something. And I see a lot of value in crowdsourcing in it. Sorry?
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting
idea.
Yeah.
Okay. I may talk to Peter Panapento at the Chronicle about that. Because there's a lot of, I just see a lot of value in crowdsourcing. And then that would be sort of immediate, you know, what's happening like this month compared to this time last year. That would be interesting.
It would be.
So going back to your June of 2010 coverage, two researchers who actually are advisors to Giving USA were finding numbers contrary to Giving USA's numbers for 2009. Can you talk a little about that?
Yes, these are two economists at Boston College.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at wealth patterns and philanthropy. So they had wanted to come out with a quarterly index, and they both sit on Giving USA's committee, and so they tried to come up with an alternative estimate. And they found a steeper decline, more like 10% for 08 and 09. One thing that they pointed out and that Giving USA has since acknowledged is that Giving USA does not capture what some people call the psychological dimensions of the economy, things like consumer confidence and unemployment, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And these two economists tried to factor some of that in. I'm not sure how they did it.
Okay.
But that's one big difference. Now, Giving USA, to be fair, they are taking a second look at their methodology this year. And so when they come out with their numbers later this week, they may have revised their estimates for 08 and 09. In fact, I'm pretty sure they will have. So it will be very interesting to see if they capture more of the downturn that we were seeing.
Okay. And again, to explain to listeners, Holly and I are talking on Tuesday, the 14th of June, and we're expecting numbers to come out either this afternoon or this week. But you're going to be listening to the show on Friday the 17th. And we hope to get someone from Giving USA to come on and talk about the new numbers. They declined to be on today because they're expecting the new numbers very soon and wanted to wait until those new numbers came out. But we did invite them. I did invite them to be with me and Holly. So that, I guess, maybe Giving USA maybe sees the disadvantage of having academics on their board, because the academics are always questioning and actually ended up contradicting Giving USA.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting, actually.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the figures when they come out later today or this week.
Okay. The Indiana University Center on Philanthropy. So they are they're the researchers behind the numbers. Is that right? What's the relationship there, the way you understand it, between Giving USA and Indiana Center on Philanthropy?
Giving USA, or the group of consultants behind the organization, hires the academics at the Center on Philanthropy to compile Giving USA each year.
Okay, I see. And then the professors we were just talking about, Shervish and Havens, they are advisors to Giving USA.
They sit on a methodology committee that reviews the data each year and approves the figures.
Okay. And what was the Indiana University's, the Center on Philanthropy's reaction when you were questioning those 2009 giving figures?
In our first story that went to press in June of 2010, they stuck by their estimates, and they pointed out that they had never been off more than 2 percentage points from the data that finally comes out from the IRS that they use to corroborate mm-hmm. their findings.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, this recession is unusually severe, and we suspect their data may not have captured it accurately.
Right. Okay. And the again, this is the Giving USA numbers are estimates, to be fair. The Indiana University Center, so they were saying basically that it's been 50 some years and we've always been pretty much on the mark.
Correct.
Okay. And have you talked to them about what may be coming this week?
Well, only once. I talked to their director of research, and he told me that they had hired or retained an economist to review their methodology with an eye toward seeing if they needed to change it. And I don't know if they will, but I strongly suspect that they're going to revise their methods and that we may see a big drop from 2008, 2009, and possibly into 2010.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, do you know if their revision would include some of those psychic giving factors that you were talking about, or do they not say? I don't know.
Okay. I don't know what they're going to come out with. Like I said, I'm very interested to see. We are seeing in our own reporting and other surveys that we track that there is some improvement, but it still continues to be a struggle. For example, after reporting a nearly 20% drop, higher education is reporting in 2010 a less than 1% decline. So it's still declining, but things are improving.
Mm, okay, a less than 1% decline from last year?
From
2009 to 10? Or
correct.
9 to 10, okay. So the IRS, now we've been alluding to this. Let's get to the details of it. Giving USA revises its numbers when IRS comes out with actual data, because as I've said a couple times, as we've said, the Giving USA numbers are an estimate. How does that all work?
Well, the IRS tracks how much money individuals claim on their tax returns for charitable donations.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the itemizers,
right.
And the itemizers are estimated to donate about 75% of all individual gifts. We don't know what the non-itemizers give,
mm-hmm.
but we suspect it's less and not as big a factor as the itemizers. So the data has come out now for both 2008 and 2009, the first 2 years of the recession. And the IRS data suggests more like a 20% decline for those 2 years, which would be comparable to what we saw in these other surveys by Council for Advancement and Support of Education and the Association of Healthcare Philanthropy.
All right. Is that 20% combined over the 2 years?
About, yes.
And we're talking about 2009, 2010, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does IRS attempt to estimate what non-itemizers do?
No, they don't.
All right. But Giving USA does?
It does.
Do you know how they go about that?
I don't know how they come up with the non-itemizer figure.
Mm, okay. It is only 25%, but still, that's a quarter. I mean, it's not
mm-hmm.
de minimis.
No. Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, well, we'll know more. Probably by the time this show is heard. Anything else? anything you're going to be specifically looking for when the numbers
come
out this
week? Well, I think I'm having kind of a lot of fun looking at some of the recession survival strategies that charities have undertaken, and it's really fascinating to see some of the creative efforts. Arts groups, in particular, have been hard hit in the recession, and
yes.
they've come up with some of the most creative fundraising and survival strategies. For example, in Baltimore, the symphony there allows people who are amateur musicians to sit in with the orchestra, if you will.
Hmm.
And they pay for a course that they take with members of the symphony. Other arts groups are doing more to bring in donors and to focus less on fancy galas and more on really bringing people backstage and helping them understand what goes into the arts. So it's interesting to see all these creative approaches.
Yeah, especially the, sitting in. That's really clever.
Mm-hmm.
But the backstage, you know, it's sort of going back to grassroots fundraising ideas, mm-hmm. which is, you know, expose people to the work you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If people are giving, even at low levels, you know, they may have a greater interest in learning more than they know. And, you know, they only ever see the arts group from the front of the house.
It's not just the arts. Seattle Children's Hospital, for example, had a really neat, 5 years ago, they created a separate research facility to study children's diseases. And just last year, you know, amid the economic downturn, they got the idea to bring in what they call research champions. These are donors who give a certain minimal amount. I can't remember what it is, but they started out with the goal of recruiting 100 people who will come in for what they call science hops. And these are meetings with individual researchers who explain their studies and what they're learning and the benefits of it. And they, as I said, they started out with a goal of recruiting 100 members, and they ended up with over 400. So it shows that just really getting close to the charitable mission and the work sometimes makes all the difference. Another organization decided to replace its auction. Instead of having an auction where they, you know, put up for bidding trips and vacations and other glitzy packages,
mm-hmm.
they decided instead to have an auction for their work. So helping needy kids, you know, let's auction off summer camp. Who wants to pay for that?
Oh, excellent.
That was very successful. So it's just gratifying to see that in hard times, charitable organizations can become really creative and effective in the process.
Mm, cleverness born of necessity.
Yeah.
Excellent. So last month, Holly, you had a piece that predicted 2011, and you alluded to it earlier, 2011 giving. What are you seeing so far about this year?
That study was with about 17,500 donors, and I'm always a little suspicious of studies that ask people what they intend to give or
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
It's much better to have studies based on what was actually donated. But this study showed that most donors expected to give at least as much, if not more. 4 in 5 donors plan to give as much, if not more, than they did in 2010. So that's a sign that charitable giving is rebounding somewhat. But what was interesting about that study is that even as people say they intend to give more, they seem to be having less patience for being over-solicited or given token gifts, you know.
Oh, yeah. What were you hearing in that respect?
A lot of charities will give tokens, like, for example, public broadcasting is big. If you give a pledge of $100, you get a free CD.
Sure.
Donors just aren't that interested in getting those kinds of perks. They feel that they cut into the contribution. You know, if a charity's spending money to buy coffee mugs, that eats into the money they're raising from the donors.
And
I think a lot of donors see through that.
And is this something that you're first seeing, and you suspect it's because of the recession?
I think it's something that's been the case. It's just that sort of annoyance, people became less patient with that and more annoyed. The survey found a higher degree of impatience with that type of fundraising.
Hmm. Excellent. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if those intentions of giving bear out in the rest of this year.
We sure will.
Holly Hall is features editor at the Chronicle of Philanthropy. Holly, thank you very much for being with me.
Thanks, Tony.
It's been a real pleasure. Look forward to having you back maybe to talk about the numbers once they are released.
Okay, thank you very much.
My pleasure, thank you. We're going to take a break. After this break, Tony's Take 2. The IRS auto revocation list is out, and you want to get off it. Stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
Welcome back to the show. It's time for Tony's Take Two. The IRS auto revocation list is out. This is a list that IRS published, and we'll be keeping up to date monthly, I believe, of about 275,000 nonprofits that have automatically had their tax-exempt status revoked. That's because they failed to file with IRS the required reports for three consecutive years. That's how you ended up on the list. Now, what if you want to get off it? Because we think that a lot of the charities on there are defunct, out of business, and just never reported that. But suppose you're still in business and you don't want to be on the list. That's what I blogged about. My blog is at mpgadv.com. You start on the IRS website, and there's a link to the explanation page in my blog, and you'll see that there's a streamlined procedure for small nonprofits. For this purpose of getting off the auto revocation list. Small is defined as having gross receipts under $50,000 in the previous year. So there's a streamlined procedure and reduced fee for those organizations that fit that criteria. And then if you're not a small organization, there's also a procedure for getting off the list, but it's not streamlined and there isn't a reduced fee. You're going to pay, I think it's $850 instead of $100 for those small nonprofits. So the details are on my blog at mpgadv.com. And that is Tony's Take Two for Friday, June 17th. With me now, our regular tech contributor, the editor of Nonprofit Technology News, Scott Kegler. Scotty, welcome.
Well, hey, Tony. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
I know we're going to talk about Google for Nonprofits and what's being offered by that program and how it can save some money and help you work efficiently. But I first want people to know that you're calling from a camper in Charlottesville, Virginia. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Why are you there in a camper?
Well, we're vacationing, so we're here for a month.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
But we have a great connection. So, and how is the weather in Charlottesville?
It's beautiful. It's not going to get above 80 today.
Oh, very nice. All right.
From
your camper, what is Google for Nonprofits?
You know, Google for Nonprofits is really an extension of the Google Apps. And Google has done a great job of just kind of opened up their entire repertoire of applications, functions to nonprofits. I think it's their way of doing good. So if you're familiar with Gmail, that's kind of the entry point to all this.
So do you have to have a Gmail account in order to find out about Google for Nonprofits?
Not to find out about it. To find out about it, just go to google.com/nonprofit.
Okay.
And you'll find all of the information there. But if you don't have a Gmail account, you probably should. It's free. And so are so many of the other things that are included with the package.
Like, one of the things is Microsoft Office compatibility. How does that work?
That's one of the things that's made Google documents and Google applications in general very well accepted in the world. They have the ability to read and write pretty much any kind of Microsoft document, a Word document, an Excel spreadsheet, even a PowerPoint presentation.
So you're not using Office.
You're not using Microsoft Office.
You're not. You're using Google Docs, right?
Exactly.
But you can save in a format that is readable by Microsoft Office.
Right. You can save your document as a .docx, which is the current Microsoft file form for document. And then people that have either Google document or Microsoft Office are able to open that, use it, read it, whatever.
So you're working in if you're working in Google Docs, then you're working in the cloud, right?
Exactly.
Okay, you and I have talked about that before, but why don't we explain what the cloud is? What does that mean if you're working in Google Docs in the cloud?
The cloud is a computer in the sky. It's, you need an internet connection to get to it and to use it. But beyond that, it's really pretty much like working on Microsoft Office on your desktop. There's a function where you can actually have the documents saved locally on your desktop so that at some point, if you are disconnected from the internet, you still can access the document. So it's really a great solution. In fact, personally, I've changed. Don't think that I've actually used Microsoft Office for about a year and a half now. I converted completely my corporate account, my documents, my email, everything else is now part of Google documents and website.
All right. And we're going to talk in a few minutes about the security and privacy concerns around that, but very interesting that you've converted your Office. So people understand, you don't have to pay for Microsoft Office, which can be a pretty pricey software offering, especially for nonprofits.
Right, and there's a bunch of other features that are enabled with Google Docs, such as having multiple people edit and share revisions of a document without actually having to move a document back and forth between computers. But those are all kind of just part and parcel of the Google documents and the whole Google Enterprise function. The fact that those things are free is really not particular to nonprofits. I use them for free, and I'm not a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But there are other functions that are specifically for nonprofit. I'd like to just kind of give you a quick list of some of those things.
Yeah.
Because they're really it's really incredible. One of them is just the Google applications, Gmail, Calendar, Documents, and support. The thing that's added with Google for Nonprofits is the support, because generally my account, which is free, does not get 24/7 customer support. And that is one thing that's included with the Google for Nonprofits.
Does that mean telephone support, or it's chatting, or it's email, or what?
Phone and email.
Really? Phone support 24/7 for nonprofits?
Right. Now, it does say for critical issues. That's probably not, how do I format the spreadsheet? But it's probably more like, how come I can't connect, and why aren't my users able to use the system? So
it's
probably some limitation there.
Okay. But still significant that it's phone support 24/7.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So what other features are there specifically for nonprofits?
Let's see. Where are we here? engagement. They have a whole set of features that are specifically for nonprofits. One of them is called Google Grants, and that would be really appealing for nonprofits because it allows you to put an ad in Google Ads and, you know, donate now. And I don't know exactly what the limitations are there, but the fact that they allow you to put anything at all in Google Ads without paying is significant.
Yeah, so it's grants for free AdWords.
Right, exactly. Mm,
okay. Didn't they also have something about branded email?
Right, the branded email is essentially what I'm using. It's the corporate version of a Google Suite, and you get to put your logo on it. It's your domain name, like mine is at kegler.net, so that's my own. It's not at Google Mail, at google.net.
At Gmail, okay. Oh, so the branded email is not particular to nonprofits.
Right, right. They're just kind of bundling a bunch of these features together for nonprofits.
Okay. What about YouTube? They had some offering on YouTube, since they own YouTube, for nonprofits.
Right. There are some limitations in YouTube for the amount of content that normal people can upload or paid for companies can upload. And they lighten up that limitation for nonprofits. So you're able to upload longer videos, longer than the 10 minutes. And you also can put a donate button on your video, which is something that nobody else gets to do. So again, it's another opportunity to interact with your constituents, ask them to donate, and give them video in order to, you know, state your cause and tell them why they should be donating.
Yeah, excellent. All right, so the Google Apps, Google Grants for AdWords, the YouTube enhancements. You had said that you go to google.com/nonprofits.
Yes,
and
exactly.
How do you qualify? Does every nonprofit qualify? I mean, how do you prove that you are one?
It's pretty simple, actually. You need to be a 501c3, which you know a lot more about than I do.
Okay, most all charities are, all tax exempt charities are. So you probably have to give your a copy of your IRS tax determination letter, I would imagine.
Well, their explanation is that your IRS notification of the status. Your EIN needs to appear in the IRS's online database.
Oh, okay. All right, so they're even more sufficient. More efficient. They don't want to deal with copies of documents, attachments. They're using the IRS list.
Right, they just look you up, say yes or no.
Okay.
And there are some restrictions. For instance, you can't be doing any commercial services, no car, boat, or real estate donations.
Okay.
You have to focus websites with a primary focus on selling goods or products or services don't qualify. Consumer credit counseling doesn't qualify. So there's some limitations, but they look to be, to me at least, like they're trying to weed out those things that could be marginally nonprofit oriented.
Mm-hmm. And to clarify, I think if your nonprofit is let's say doing car donations or yacht donations, something like that, you can still continue that. You can't use Google for nonprofits to support that kind of work.
Right.
Okay. I love the donate button on YouTube videos. That's really extraordinary.
Yeah, you know, video has really taken off in the last, year and a half in terms of a way to get a message to folks.
Vimeo, you said, right?
YouTube or some kind of video. And I saw a study just recently saying that 65% of website visitors, just in general, view a video of some kind at least two times a week.
Mm.
That's pretty significant kind of traffic to video.
Mm-hmm.
And a good reason to get into that.
Oh, it's so interactive. I think you and I have talked about that when we talked about the ideal website. You can just show so much more. You can show your work on site, and it doesn't have to be high production values.
Right, and if you look at a lot of the videos that are being used now, they're very personal. It's a headshot of somebody stating their cause and talking directly to the viewer. So it's not some kind of, as you just said, high production. It's just sitting down in front of your flip cam or your webcam on your computer and just stating your cause. Doesn't have to be something that's heavily produced. Although I do have to say that pre-scripting your talk does make a lot of difference. You don't want to be fumbling your words.
Of course, right?
Yeah.
All right. So video, very valuable, and you can use Google for nonprofits to take advantage of what Google is offering on YouTube. I'm with Scott Kegler, our regular tech contributor, the editor of Nonprofit Technology News. When we return after this break, we'll talk about some of the security and privacy concerns about working in the cloud. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please join us starting Monday, May 2nd at 10 a.m. for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Please tune in and call as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back. I'm with Scott Kegler, editor of Nonprofit Technology News, which you'll find at nptechnews.com. And we're talking about Google for nonprofits. Scott, you have your business, you said, so many of your business documents in the cloud. And there are concerns about security. I mean, within the past, by the time this show is aired, it'll be within the past 2 weeks or so, Citigroup hacked, the International Monetary Fund hacked. So if your data isn't resident on your computer, which has its own risks, I'm not saying that's risk-free, but when your data is stored somewhere else, off-site, there are risks.
Sure, Tony, there's always risk. And I should say that the IMF was not a cloud-based application. It was actually within their own servers.
Okay.
So there's always something, there's always somebody wanting to get in and cause mayhem. Of course, if you're a bigger target, you're going to be more likely to be attacked. But I always look at the security of cloud-based systems like this.
Mm-hmm.
If I have it on my own computer or my own network or my own servers, then I'm responsible for that, for the security of that. And I can install security applications, I can set up firewalls, do all those things that are necessary, but you know what? I am not an expert in that stuff. On the other hand, cloud-based applications, service providers that allow you to put your applications up in their services, they have their entire businesses kind of on the line. And there's an adage that I've heard a couple of times. If a service provider, a cloud service provider or SaaS provider, gets hit one time, it's a public relations problem. If they get hit twice, they have they're going to lose customers. If they get hit three times, they're essentially out of business.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it from their perspective, it's not just something that they do. It's something that they have to do in order to stay in business.
Let me keep
they
you
have
out
a lot more at stake at my security than I do.
Hmm. Okay, interesting perspective. Thank you. Let me keep you out of jargon jail. You mentioned SaaS. Now, we have talked about SaaS in the past, but for someone who maybe didn't listen to that show, which is hard to believe. But,
I know. How can anybody not have listened to
it? It's a theoretical possibility that somebody might not have listened to that previous show. So just for that hypothetical, what is SaaS? Remind us, please.
SaaS and cloud are very interrelated. They both are essentially computers in the sky. They're connected by the internet. So a SaaS actually stands for Software as a Service. Google applications or Google apps qualify as software as a service. They also, increasingly, you'll find that people interchange the acronyms, either SaaS or cloud. They're really more and more referring to exactly the same thing. Technically, I would classify them differently, but for most intents and purposes, you can say SaaS and cloud are pretty much the same thing.
All right. Well, and technically, that's why you're the editor of Nonprofit Technology News, to make those nuanced distinctions and explain them to us. Why would you say they're a little bit they're technically different?
SaaS is specifically application. So if you look at Gmail, that is an application that's resident offsite.
Okay, like fund accounting software. You and I talked many shows ago, probably now, about fund accounting software. That was SaaS. Okay.
And cloud can be anything. There are websites or servers that are available where you can actually create your own applications. There are things like Amazon S3, which is basically their disk drive in the sky, where you can just take all of your files, documents, pictures, videos, load them up onto their disk drive up there. And that's a cloud-based service, not really an application.
Okay, I understand.
That's the technical difference between the two.
All right, and since you mentioned Amazon S3, I'll give them a little plug. I use them for the video and audio content for this show. It's how I transfer it between the people who are editing it, working on it, or the end user who I'm produced it for. I upload it to Amazon S3 and give them a URL, and they can download it.
Yeah, and many good things about that. One is that it's really, really inexpensive.
Yes,
and
it's
the other
right,
is that
right.
Multiple people can get to it without having to move the files one place to the next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a couple of dollars a month I'm paying for many gig of storage.
Right.
One more concern. We have just about 2 minutes left around working in the cloud, and that is privacy. Questions about who owns the data. There are some lawsuits out there now where Google is claiming that they own data that's stored in their cloud. Now, I don't know the nuances of the fact patterns around that. I just know that, let's just talk about the issue generally about who owns the data that you store in someone else's cloud.
There are no rules.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be up to the specific provider. And although I haven't seen the lawsuit with Google, I have to imagine that it's around some very specific data you know, it's like Facebook. Facebook essentially owns whatever you put up on your Facebook account.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we've talked about that.
That can be classified either as a SaaS or as cloud. If you're putting files up there, like music or photos, Facebook owns it, and that's right in their terms of service. And it only gets to be an issue, I think, when in terms of Google. When they want to do something like delete or give away the data that you've provided. I think that the qualification there is going to be very, very narrow for Google. They don't want to get in trouble with any persons or companies proprietary data. So, again, I haven't looked at the lawsuit.
Right. Otherwise, that would discourage use of their cloud.
Yeah, absolutely.
Considerably, yeah. What about local backup? Scott, I just realized we have to come to the end. We're at the end.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I wanted to ask you about local backup. Scott Kegler, the editor of Nonprofit Technology News at nptechnews.com. Scott, thank you very much. Enjoy your vacation in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Thanks, Tony. Talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you. Thank you. I want to thank Scott and Holly Hall, features editor for the Chronicle of Philanthropy, for being with me today. Next week, a show from the archive. And this time I do know which one it's going to be. The past couple weeks I've said I don't know what it's going to be. It's going to be Fire Up Your Board Fundraising. Gail Perry, the author of Fired Up Fundraising, Turn Board Passion into Action, joins me for the hour next week. You can keep up with what's coming up on Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Sign up for our insider email alerts on the Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and go to the search for the name of this show. While you're there, you can like us, become a fan of the show. Those who did had the chance to win one of two iPads. We gave away two iPads last week to fans of the Facebook page. iTunes. We're on iTunes at nonprofitradio.net. Subscribe there. Listen anytime on the device of your choice, nonprofitradio.net. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio's creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. Our line producer and the owner of Talking Alternative Broadcasting is Sam Leibowitz. And the show's social media is by Regina Walton of Organic Social Media. I hope you'll be with me next Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. That'll be Fire Up Your Board Fundraising. You'll always find us at talkingalternative.com, which is the home of Talking Alternative Broadcasting. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please join us starting Monday, May 2nd at 10 a.m. for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Please tune in and call as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-9600. 212-308-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
TalkingAlternative.com.